The co-working startup WeWork may soon be the biggest private office tenant in Manhattan, according to the real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield. That's because the 8-year-old startup doesn't just run these co-working spaces with common areas with leather couches and coffee bars, maybe free beer. They've also been leasing out offices to corporate clients like Siemens and J.P. Morgan Chase. For more, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Shireen Ghaffari is a reporter at Recode. Hi, Shireen.
Hi.
So WeWork, valued at $20 billion, founded by the very charismatic, it sounds, Adam Neumann, who grew up on an Israeli kibbutz, and his partner Miguel McKelvey, who was raised on a commune in Oregon. They said they wanted to bring that communal spirit to the workspace, started as, you know, a co-working space for freelancers. But they also rent out offices to corporate clients. So explain how the company works. How much is co-working?
Sure. So they really started out largely renting to small businesses, entrepreneurs, artists in New York, and they found that that was widely popular with larger, you know, corporate customers as well. So they've grown their enterprise customers, which they call their customers who have over 1,000 employees, from virtually nothing to now that makes up about 15 to 20% of their business.
And they don't buy the real estate because that's hugely expensive. They lease?
That's right. What they do is they take on long-term leases, let's say 10 to 12 years, and they get a more discounted rate than if they were going to rent on a short-term basis. So then they can go ahead and divide that space up and rent it to a bunch of smaller customers at a higher rent rate.
So Recode's writing that if they lease just one more big building, they will be bigger than J.P. Morgan Chase, currently the biggest office occupant in New York's, you know, Manhattan. But it sounds as if they're doing more than just the, you know, the fact that they're, you know, renting out office space. It's a brand they're trying to sell of how people work together.
That's right. They really see it as a brand that's built around community. And, you know, if you go back to the history of the founders, it sort of makes sense. And, you know, what they're doing is co-working has been around for a while. There's other people who have done this before, but they have successfully sort of carved out a successful brand and made themselves appealing to younger entrepreneurial types.
And changed how other people, you know, it seems as if they're changing things so that other landlords have to think about meeting rooms and hanging plants and, you know, maybe piped in pop music or free beer or a yoga instructor or the different kinds of things that they offer. But what have they done? What have WeWork and other co-working spaces, what have they meant for the rental market?
Yeah, I mean, what they've done is really increase the or decrease, rather, the vacancy rate so that they're bringing new demand from people who might have otherwise worked out of a Starbucks or out of their home office. But now they're able to sort of rent a smaller office at a WeWork and get these amenities, like you were saying, you know, the hanging plants and the free beer and the free kombucha in some cases. And so they're allowing a new set of tenants to come in who might have not otherwise been able to afford that space. Therefore, they're decreasing the vacancy and increasing demand, which ultimately leads to higher rents.
Right. Well, they're also expanding. They offer residences. That's We Live, a gym.
Yes.
They're opening a kindergarten, We Grow. One of the founder's wives is starting it, even though she has no background in education. It's going to be a for-profit. Is there concern that this company, again, valued at $20 billion, might be spreading itself too thin?
Yeah, that's absolutely a concern. I think it's also ultimately going to determine their success or not. If they can execute on all these different lines of businesses, it will surely be a huge feat. And their mission is bold, their mission is big, and it's to go beyond just co-working, but into sort of bringing this communal capitalism to every aspect of life, from how you raise your kids to where you work out to where you live.
Huh. Well, but again, it's there's some who wonder, when does a brand that's selling a communal way of living become almost a cult? Last month, the company announced, WeWork announced it would no longer serve meat at company events. It won't reimburse workers who order meat at a lunch meeting. At the same time, they encourage drinking alcohol. There are wine tastings, beer kegs. Some women are kind of feeling a frat house culture. Sounds a little bit like Silicon Valley, you know, as it has evolved. What's your sense of how this idea of a brand might be something they can't control?
Well, I think, you know, saying that it's definitely not a cult. Right. I wouldn't go that far.
I did. I'm sorry.
I think that ultimately the culture that a WeWork has depends on the tenants and customers and companies that it has within its building, right? So if a WeWork location is largely renting to tech startups, you're going to see some of the same problems that workers have in the tech industry around gender and around frat culture mirrored, right, in the culture of the companies that make up that WeWork. And I think in terms of the policies around vegetarianism and banning meat, those have actually been internal policies for their own employees. However, they've made huge waves in the press and gotten a lot of attention. And I definitely think those sort of eco-friendly values risk alienating some, but ultimately have
attract
proven
others.
Hugely successful for WeWork's main audience,
Shireen,
main customers.
Shireen Guffery, I'm going to have to leave it there. A reporter at Recode, thank you.
Thanks so much.